Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. I want you to participate today, no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Or you can participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Hey, don't forget that we are all on the same team and in this together, and never forget a simple strategy is the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Imagine we took into account what Gandhi said, that you should be the change you wish to see. Imagine we took action. Imagine we combined our intent and our action. I'm telling you, when you combine your intent and your action, the offspring is success. The offspring is the life you see for yourself. And if you see something you want to change, take action and participate in that change. Participate not only in your own journey, but in the journey of those around us. Never forget that power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I want to get to the show because we have on one of my favorite authors in the whole world, as well as one of my favorite guests, Amit Goswami. He's the international best-selling author. His newest book is God Is Not Dead, What Quantum Physics Tells Us About Our Origins and How We Should Live. Amit, of course, Dr. Amit Goswami is a retired professor from the theoretical physics department of the University of Oregon, and his books and his movies have been incredible. He's been featured. Amit is one of the great minds today, and always an honor to have him on. His website is amitgoswami.org. Amit Goswami, welcome back to Empowered Living Radio.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you. And we're talking about, we've been talking about this on the show for a while now, talking about this experience, this human experience, this experience of consciousness, what's happening, finding the balance of our spirituality with the material. And you, this is what you talk about in this book.
Yes, yes. It is about integrating all of our different aspects that give us pause to recognize that we have shortcomings, and the shortcomings mainly come from the lack of integration. And today we have a scientific worldview that enables us to integrate. The current worldview, scientific materialism, is much too lopsided in favor of materiality, and people are confused because they intuit the values, but then the worldview says that, no, these values don't have much meaning. So might as well listen to what you have in the brain circuits already programmed, and that's what people are doing. And that's living in negative emotions, and that brings in extra barriers to your creativity. So how to release your creative potential is really quite simple. Change your worldview. That's the first thing you do. Recognize that it's not matter that is the ground of all being, but it is consciousness. Consciousness, and you're part of it. There's no doubt about it. There is data, there is quantum physics backing you up, so there is no reason to listen to Steve's introduction in the beginning. Listen to your positivity rather than worry about your barriers.
And that's exactly it. And you know what's interesting is during this your own journey, you find I found that I went through my own little thing where I was you're seeing the increase. You're going into a bookstore and you're seeing the introduction of an atheist section, and you're seeing these Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris, and these books are hitting number one bestsellers, and what they're saying makes so much sense. But for me, you can't go past. You can't. I don't think that it has eliminated a concept of God. It maybe updated the version, but for me, science has been God's greatest asset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Science is not outside of God. It's just as simple as that. So this very science, materialist science, has given us quantum physics, which is giving us God back. So, it works like that. It goes in cycles. We go way over on one side and then swing back. Right now it's the swinging back. And this time, we won't make the mistake of the past ages, because we have to recognize that this atheism that these guys are preaching, there's good reason for it. Because indeed, science grew up in an environment in which the hostility was natural, because religion was very hostile to science in the initial early days. Now that science is powerful, some people just cannot help themselves but to take some revenge. That is to be expected. So, however, we have to recognize that this revenge, although natural, is not productive. It is just holding us back. So we should recognize very soon that this phase is a very temporary phase. How temporary it is depends entirely on us, the listeners of this show, the non-listeners of this show. Everybody has to recognize that limiting ourselves is just not a very prudent course. And revenge and this kind of negative emotions just should not be carried over too long and too much. It's time to stop all that and recognize that quantum physics is giving us an integrative worldview. We have it. We have it experimentally verified. And now to understand how to explore our creative potential, that is the priority. We have problems to solve. We have real problems to solve. We have difficult problems to solve. And we have to do it with creativity. And that is neither so easy, but nor is it so difficult. We can do it, but we have to put our focus on it.
So we're finding that the initial descriptions of whether in ancient scriptures, the initial descriptions of God, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the initial descriptions that I am everything, I'm the music, and I'm the space between the notes that makes the music, I am all of this. And even I was reading the old translations of biblical texts of even when God tells you God's name, and this of course is interpreted and translated by the people writing, but even in the interpretation, God says Yahweh and I'm this. I was so interested to find out that when God does give a name, he doesn't give a proper noun. In the Hebrew, that's not a noun. That word that God describes himself as is actually a verb. His name is a verb, and he's talking when he says that I'm not. I don't want to be subject to dogma. I want you to be in relationship, constantly refining, upgrading, and enhancing your version of me, like I do that to this world. I find that so fascinating, and I applaud scientists like you who are seeing that and sharing that with everybody else.
It is so important to recognize it. In quantum physics, it comes out as an expression in which both subject and object originate. In other words, there is in the unity no particular I speaking to a particular you. There is no difference between subject and object. It all arises together from that one being. It arises as a verb initially, and then we give it subject as I because it seems to be a natural perception. But it doesn't arise that way. Hopi Indian language is designed that way. It's a good practice for all of us to speak in verbs. Although eventually we do recognize that in creativity, ego does play a role, and therefore one has to empower the ego as well. And there you become an eye to all the learned programs that you have, and that's useful. But at the same time, we should also recognize that when we are in our higher self, which is called quantum self, and creativity is a play between these two selves of ours, then we continuously go into this verb mode. And in that verb mode, there is flow. The ego goes sort of in and out, and a feeling of flow pervades the experience. Now, of course, you know, golfers go into it, basketball players go into it, they call it going in the zone. The truth is that anybody can go into it if you are interested in creativity, and this is the greatest joy of human life in a day-to-day way of living.
You know, I think that we're alive in such a fantastic time. During your research and the years that you've been doing this, has anything surprised you? Has your beliefs about God and consciousness, life and death, has anything that you've learned or uncovered surprised you?
Well, so many times, Steve. The creative life is full of surprises. Every creative experience comes as a huge surprise. Of course, the greatest surprise to me, because I was an avowed materialist between age 14 and age when this thing happened, that was 1985, I was close to 50. So during that time, I was a materialist, and therefore when the realization hit me that consciousness is the ground of being, and this is a wonderful basis for starting a new paradigm of science, that probably was the biggest surprise ever of my entire life.
Well, sure, and as a materialist, you just believe that our consciousness is something that's happening in the brain, and when that turns off, right?
That's right, and I believed in that too. And I cannot tell you the wonders of that evening when I realized that it is not that way at all, and that way contradicts quantum physics. The lesson of quantum physics is straightforward, that we are part of that consciousness as the ground of being. Brain comes out of it, all matter comes out of it. And eventually, in another few years, I discovered also that mind comes out of it. So all this dualism, this mind and matter are dual, consciousness and matter are dual, and therefore we must avoid dualism. All those thoughts are just completely unnecessary wastage of time. Finally, we have discovered that the quantum framework, that all objects, mental and physical, are possibilities within that one consciousness, which is the ground of being. And that consciousness, without signals, non-locally, that's the quantum word, non-locally, mediates the interaction between all these dualities. So the basic problem of dualism is now solved. So scientific materialists should take notice of it and rejoice. Instead of being locked up in their straitjacket of thinking that matter is everything, which excludes our values, excludes meaning, excludes creativity, why think of ourselves as zombies, machines, when you see clearly that the whole physics was designed so that we have freedom, so that we have the capacity to be creative, we have downward causation, we have God's power. You know, much of what you say in the beginning of your show is just so apropos and so much in tune with the quantum worldview. We are empowered. We have the power. We can change our life. So why put on this straitjacket of nincompoopness? This is just absolutely, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And you know what helps that is for years, you know, we've been bombarded by a self-help or a spiritual industry that's had you looking outside. They've had you looking outside of yourself and telling you in some not direct way and sometimes direct way that you're broken and that this guru or that guru has the fix, when in fact we are. We set the standard for ourselves. We are more than just the dream, or we are more than just a dreamer. We're the person that brings that dream to life. That power being within us, are we kind of radio tuners that are tuning in and expressing this consciousness?
We are more than that. We are more than radio tuners. The tuning mechanisms are also within us. So it's more powerful than radio because it's non-local. It does not require any signal. And it is all within us. It's all a question of recognition of various powers that we have recognition that we can only achieve by being introspective, by slowing down, by meditating, by recognizing that the creative process requires do and be both. You know, my slogan is do-be-do-be-do. And that is just to bring a little bit humor in the process, but it is very serious. It's doing and being. The single thing our culture needs to learn, and this one from spiritual traditions also, is that being is important. But spiritual traditions negate doing, and that's their undoing. Doing and being both are important. This is the key to integrate the do-do-do lifestyle of the materialist and the be-be-be lifestyle of the spiritual have to be integrated.
So it's like there are different dimensions of truth. It's one's a why and one's a how.
Right. That's it. That's the ontology, epistemology. One favors epistemology, just the becoming. The other favors being the ontology. You know, these are philosophical words. But the point is that this division, how long? How long shall we hold on to a pendulum swing between one and the other? How long shall we negate the world like the spiritual traditions do? And how long shall we negate the spirit like the materialist traditions do? It's time to recognize that we are both. We evolve, we bring the spirit onto the earth, you know, more poetically. We bring heaven to the earth as evolution proceeds. And all these things recognize and join the movement of consciousness. The movement of consciousness is clear. You look at the anthropological history of the earth, we have moved way forward compared to when we are hunters and gatherers. If the scientific materialists were true, we would not have evolved in the direction of the mind. Mind doesn't exist for them. There has been hardly any evolution of the brain. So brain is mind theory, just doesn't work there. Evolution clearly shows that mind has evolved from a very physically oriented mind, which we needed when we are hunters and gatherers. But through the discovery of horticulture, through the discovery of agriculture, through the discovery of technology, industry, we have progressed. Mind has become more of a vital mind, interested in feelings. Then mind became rational mind, interested in thinking, how we think, abstract thinking. And now mind is gradually become interested in the highest capacity, in the intuitions, in the archetypes, love, beauty, justice, truth, goodness. These things we have discovered for the past 3,000 years, but we have not done very well with them. But now the time has come. Now the time has come to do very well with them, because finally quantum physics is teaching us how these things can be manifested within us. Neurophysiology is telling us that all those previous thinking that brain is fixed is wrong. Neuroplasticity is the biggest discovery of neurophysiology in recent times. We can be creative at any age. And that creativity is the key to our abilities.
It really is fascinating that the amount of discoveries in the neurosciences that are really reshaping our understanding and pointing at exactly this. And folks, we're speaking with international best-selling author Dr. Amit Goswami. His book is God Is Not Dead: What Quantum Physics Tells Us About Our Origins and How We Should Live. The website is amitgoswami.org. That's amitgoswami.org. If you're listening to our website, just click on Amit's name, and it'll take you right to amitgoswami.org. So, Amit, from the materialist to now, what have you learned about not only how our experience of this consciousness, but the role that dreams play, that these type of visions play for us? What have you learned?
Well, dreams are very, very good way to enter into our meaning life. Meaning is the mind. Mind processes meaning. We have now definite theoretical evidence. Roger Penrose have given us a very definitive proof that computers cannot process meaning. Computers can only make representations of meaning. In common terms, in common language, computers make... in their computers or hardware, they can make software representation of our meaning. We give meaning. The programmer gives meaning to the computer, and that's all it can do. The same thing is true for the brain. Brain makes software representations of the mental meaning that we give it. So the meaning is completely the property of our mind, which is an inner facility. We experience the mind as their inner experience. Thoughts are private. So therefore, dreams, which are also private, what are dreams? Dreams, in the dreams, mind makes meaning out of brain white noise. So it does not have any physical content. And that is the power of it. So if you are interested in how your meaning life is proceeding, how your exploration of meaning is taking off or not taking off, then pay attention to the dream. It's amazing. When you start doing it, you will notice, first of all, that your dreams are definitely mostly dominated by day residue dreams. What you dream is essentially anxious rendition of things that occupied you during the day, nothing much. But when you pay attention, especially if you say that, okay, I will now spend some time in exploring new meaning of my life. What is the meaning that is unfolding in this life itself? When you become interested in such questions, you will find answers in dreams that Carl Jung called archetypal dreams. They will come to you. It's an amazing experience. I went through it, and how I went through it. They sometimes are quite laughable. Like I used to see, you know, when I was beginning in this journey, I used to see a series of dreams of shit, of excretion, of lavatories and toilets. And the reason was that I needed to clean up my system. So that became very clear. And then
wow.
I started seeing flying dreams, telling us the prospects, the potential that I have, that I can learn to fly if I recognize where to fly. And then I realized that flying is not possible in the material domain. It's trying to attract my attention to the subtle domain, to my feelings and thinking and meaning and intuitions. And when I started shifted my attention from the physical into these inner adventures in terms of meaning and values, my life took off. So dreams will tell you where your life is ready to go. And so pay attention and live accordingly. This is my advice in general. I strongly recommend people not only interested in dream life, but actually keep a notebook by the side of their bed, and have a pen light, so that whenever they wake up during the night from a dream, they can just write it down. Just write down one sentence. A pen light enables you to write that down without even disturbing your sleep. You will go right back to sleep. And then in the morning, when you look at just that one sentence, everything will come back to you. It's just a trigger. You don't need to write down the entire dream. It works. Trust me. So, you know, when you start doing that, as I said, then all kinds of advice is available. I have a chapter on dream in the book God Is Not Dead. Now, you can read that. Fred Alan Wolf wrote a very good book called The Dreaming Universe. That also has much hint to give you. And a few other books are also available, which are good. So we are beginning to understand dreams. We are beginning to use dreams. And I tell you, this is about your inner life. This gives much complementary information as your waking life does.
Is the reason that we get these dreams, is it because that's the ideal time for us to consciously get out of our own way?
Well, the thing is that we get too stuck with the goings of the waking life. We get emotionally attached to various events and things, various people, and these upheavals, which mainly are the doings of our brain circuits, keeps us going in the same circles over and over. You know, like the scientific materialists, their life rotates about certain themes, and they cannot get out of that. So the trick is how to get out of that. Dreams will give you the hint, because dreams will tell you exactly that, okay, you have been stuck, and dreams will also give you the hint of what to do about your stuckness. And if you follow the dreams, and the Jungian psychologists have really studied that aspect, the creative aspect of dreams, very well. You know, the whole idea is to recognize that every dream symbol represents your meaning. So the meaning is not what the symbol is. Like you see your mother-in-law in the dream, it's not your actual mother-in-law, but it is your representation of what mother-in-law means to you. If you have this understanding, then you can interpret your dream, especially with the help of a friend. I often find that our own mind becomes a little obtuse about finding the meanings we have for our symbols. We are a little obtuse when we analyze our own dreams. So it's always helpful to tell a friend your dream and then analyze it together. When you do that, you discover astounding things about yourself that you didn't know before.
And it's powerful because you get exactly what you said. When you write it down, you get that unedited version. And to be able to share that with somebody and even take it in yourself, it's something where you can learn a lot about yourself and learn a lot about the representations you do create, the labels you place on people and events in your life.
That's right. That's right. That's right, and the point is that it also gives you very broad hints of how to get out of the doldrums, how to get out of the circuitous nature of how you are going around the same things, and find the new explorations that your inner self wants you to do. So we intuit what the inner self wants us to do, what the quantum self wants us to do all the time. But we don't hear the intuition very well in our waking hours because, this emotional attachment we have to aspects of our life, that is the problem, the brain circuits of negative emotion. So in this way, dreams are a way of coming out of that grip. Once we come out of it, then it seems like, it is so simple. But we have to come out of it. We have to begin somewhere. And this is a very good place to begin the journey towards creativity, journey towards recognizing and expressing the potential that we have, that huge human potential that you talk about in the beginning of your show, empowerment. That's empowerment.
Wow, folks, this brilliant man you're listening to is international best-selling author Amit Goswami. He's talking about his new book, God is Not Dead, what quantum physics tells us about our origins and how we should live. Make sure you check out his website, amitgoswami.org. We still have a whole segment left with Amit. I promise I'll get to some of your feedback. I want you to check out, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to check out amitgoswami.org. If you're listening to our website, just click on Amit's name. It'll take you right to amitgoswami.org. Again, we're talking about his book, God is Not Dead. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to a couple of minutes of Dr. King while we grab a drink, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Don't move.
If you and Bernard happen to be around when I come to the latter day, in that moment to cross the Jordan, I want you to tell him that I made a request. I don't want a long funeral. In fact, I don't even need a eulogy more than 1 or 2 minutes. I hope that I will live so well the rest of the day. I don't know how long I'll live, and I'm not concerned about that. But I hope I can live so well that the preacher can get up and say he was faithful. That's all. That's enough. That's the sermon I'd like to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You've been concerned about others. That's where I want to go from this point on the rest of my day. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. I want to be a servant. I want to be a witness for my Lord. Do something for others. And don't forget in doing something for others that you have what you have because of others. Don't forget that. We are tied together in life and in the world. And you may think you got all you got by yourself. You know, before you got out here to church this morning, you were dependent on more than half of the world. You get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and you reach over for a bar of soap and that's handed to you by a Frenchman. You reach over for a sponge and that's given to you by a Turk. You reach over for a towel and that comes to your hand from the hands of a Pacific Islander. And then you go on to the kitchen to get your breakfast. You reach on over to get a little coffee and that's poured in your cup by a South American. Or maybe you decide that you want a little tea this morning only to discover that that's poured in your cup by a Chinese. Or maybe you want a little cocoa that's poured in your cup by a West African. Then you want a little bread and you reach over to get it and that's given to you by the hands of an English-speaking farmer, not to mention the baker. Before you get through eating breakfast in the morning, you're dependent on more than half of the world. That's the way God structured it. That's the way God structured this world. So let us be concerned about others because we are dependent on others.
Hey, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, stevemaraboli.com and empoweredlivingradio.com. Every single show we have ever done, including all the time Amit Goswami has been on, they're available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Make sure that you check us out and share. We are having a great conversation with international best-selling author Amit Goswami. He's been in What the Bleep Do We Know. He was in this documentary, The Dalai Lama Renaissance. He's an incredible voice for quantum physics. His new book is God Is Not Dead, What Quantum Physics Tells Us About Our Origins and How We Should Live. His website is AmitGoswami.org. That's AmitGoswami.org. Amit, I asked you earlier about how your studies and your knowledge and your research has changed your opinion about what God may be. I want to ask you how it's changed your opinion on what life is, or maybe even more specifically, what death, what we call death, actually is.
Yes, this is very interesting because, you know, initially when I started, actually it was all started with a radio show like this, and an old lady, the first question she asked on the show was, what happens when we die? And I realized at that moment that I know nothing about this. I have never thought about this. So, of course, I avoided the question because I didn't know the answer, but it intrigued me. And then a series of things happened in my life. And one thing that happened, I still remember, a woman whose boyfriend had died came to me, a physicist. Somehow she picked up the idea in the grapevine of the university that I delve into things that when angels don't dare to go, as they say. And so she came to me for counseling. She came to me to help her cope with the death of her boyfriend. And again, the question came up, what happens after we die? So I started paying attention to the ancient literature, could not make much sense of it. And then one night I dreamt something like a voice came to me saying, Tibetan Book of the Dead is correct. It's your job to prove it. And Tibetan Book of the Dead is about this, you know, the soul's journey through what they call bardos, passageways. After you die, the soul then has a series of journeys, passageways, and eventually the soul is reincarnated. So I was very intrigued by all this. I took it as synchronicity. I knew that concept already. And of course, I knew that it's quantum non-locality, signalless communication that enables us to have this power of synchronicity experiences. Something happens outside and that affects me inside in my processing of meaning. So I took it very seriously. I had to find a solution. And the solution came that mind and matter are both possibilities of consciousness itself. So that was the realization. And once you realize that we have a subtle body or subtle bodies, because there is one body for feeling, that's called the vital body, one body for processing meaning, that's the mental body, and then one body for processing values, archetypes, that's the supramental that we intuit. So once you recognize that we have subtle bodies, then immediately you are free to explore that, okay, maybe when the physical body dies, the subtle body goes on, continues, because there is nothing there to die. It does not have any structure. It's all possibilities and quantum possibilities. Quantum is not affected like this macro objects in the physical, which appears to be approximately Newtonian. And that approximately Newtonian part, that has the problem of entropy and therefore the appearance of death. But the subtle part does not have that problem, but still I had to solve the problem of how the subtle part can continue on and which part of it continues on. Obviously, the melodrama continuing on doesn't make sense, because then death itself would be quite meaningless. What is the point of dying if not getting a clean slate, if not getting rid of all these memories that eventually take us off the course of creativity? We become too overloaded with our history, our own history. So obviously it helps us to be born like a child again with a clean slate. But completely clean slate is also not useful, because then we go on to creativity and discover the wheel over and over again, as they say. So how to create a situation in which we continue to have some of the things that we have built about ourselves? What we do in a life is to build character, a way of doing things that makes us creative. And it is that character, it turned out, that we take with us when we die. So quantum physics tells us that the memory of learning, that memory, not the content, but the memory of how we learned, that character aspect of memory is non-local. It's not preserved, it's not memorized in the circuits of the brain. Instead, it's truly non-local. It's preserved outside of space and time. Therefore, when I die, somebody in the future can use the same non-local memory of my learning, and then that person naturally can be called my reincarnation. And this concept then explains why we can continue and learn more in the next life and then learn more in the life after that. If you think about it, if we are all born as tabula rasa, as the materialist version tells us, it would be impossible to be so creative for some people, because creativity would be very limited, although creativity is always available. But because of lack of previous learning, it would be extremely limited. As I said, we would be discovering wheels over and over. Because Just by looking at books, you cannot learn. You can learn only if you already have the capacity to learn. This has to be recognized.
So it's almost as though what we're considered death is really the turning off, or the turning of the page, or the closing of the book of the story we've been telling ourselves, but not necessarily that thing that actually makes us us.
Yes, the story is much more intriguing than you would get in a materialist way of thinking. And you know what the amazing thing is, that there is already data. In the 1950s, there was a neurophysiologist named Carl Lashley. He wanted to find the place in the brain where this learning expertise, how we learn something, is memorized. So he taught rats to travel a Y maze. At one end there is electric shock, the other end has cheese, so rat learns how to find the cheese. And then he started chopping off portions of the rat's brain and see if the learning still is there. So the idea is that if the learning is not there anymore, then that's where the memory would be. So he chops off 5% of the rat's brain. Rat finds the cheese without any problem whatsoever. 20% of the rat's brain has some difficulty, but rat still finds the cheese without much problem. 50% of the brain he chops off. And now the rat is blind. Rat cannot walk anymore, but it crawls its way somehow to the cheese. So Lashley continues that memory of learning, that expertise could not possibly be in the brain. And, you know, so this non-local memory, this idea, the data is already existing. Data is there for us to look at. Nobody has since then been able to explain Lashley's data. This is outstanding evidence for in the favor of what I'm talking about, reincarnational ideas with non-local memory.
It's amazing because when you talk about not this non-local memory, it's almost as though I think back to reading one of the Lobsang Rampa's books back when I was young, and as he would talk about these Akashic records. But in one sense, it kind of sounds like that.
Yeah, it is. It is like that. And you have to wonder, too, like Cooper Sheldrake first pointed us towards that direction, that how the learning of a previous time becomes so easy in the next generation. Like, take the case of computer. You know, I'm older than you. So for me, computers don't come so naturally. I have difficulties with it, and that's to put it mildly. But a kid of today, you know, they seem to have easy with the computer. Why is that? You must have wondered. And this is because, again, memory is non-local, and much of this learning, and therefore they easily can be propagated through this non-local memory transfer.
Wow, so it's as though that ourselves, our own existence, our own experience of consciousness is preceded, and I don't mean preceded, I mean preceded with the seeds of what we need to learn for this generation.
Good pun. Preceded. I missed it myself. Very good. Yeah, it's correct. You know, that was Rupert Sheldrake's idea, and that's what I think so too, because quantum physics is telling us the same thing. And this is why one should always take heart from the fact that what you do, what a few people can do, if they do it, like a few people can love, not everybody can today. Everybody will in some future date. But we seed that future ability today because a few people are able to do it, and we will do it, and if we do it, in some near future, I hope, other people will automatically be born with a brain that has a love circuit built into it. Just imagine a world in which majority of people have love circuits built into it, so violence truly will be an aberration in that kind of society, and will finally get able to get rid of violence, such a major force in a society.
I think that, and you cover this in this book, and I'm so glad to have a quantum physicist on to share this, so it's not just coming from me, but I had always said that I thought that Jesus and his teachings, the teachings as reflected in the stories of Jesus, there's incredible quantum physics in there.
Absolutely. I have a, you know, this God is not dead has an appendix. Which says quantum physics and the teachings of Jesus. I loved it when I wrote that chapter, and I tell you, it just every time I think of Jesus, I marvel, you know, how this man thousands of years ago, right, more than 2,000 now. And he lived then, and very few people understood him, and how he talked in quantum language. It's just amazing, his ideas about creativity, his ideas about consciousness is the ground of being, non-locality. It tells in Luke, there is a series of lines that kingdom of God is not in the water, nor is it in the sky, because then birds would precede us. In the water, fish would precede us, but they don't. We have the capacity of investigating it, not the fish. And then he said, it's neither here nor it is there, and it is here, it is there, it's both nowhere and everywhere. And then he says, kingdom of God is within you, it's also outside you. That's a quote not in Luke, but in Gospel according to Thomas. And you know, this is just beautiful, beautiful quantum physics. This is description of non-locality. It's nowhere to be found, but it is there very much as consciousness is non-local. So Jesus knew, just like Jesus is giving us right advice in Jesus' ethics, what stands out, he says, love thy neighbor as you would love yourself. But he goes on and says, but anybody can love a friend, love your enemy. That's the real practice of love. And we learn these things. And when I say these things to myself, when I say these things aloud, a shiver runs through my body, you know, my whole vital body responds, because they are powerful practices, man. I mean, if you do them really, try to love your enemy, and intimate enemy, of course, is the best, then you discover love very quickly. It's amazing. I have done those practices myself, and I tell you, these are very powerful ways to transform our lives.
Well, because what you have there is what you write about, is that quantum activist. You have the doobie doobie doo. You have somebody who, and this is where we get into that dogma, the difference between having a religious dogma and having an actual relationship with an idea of God, where you have, I always found it fascinating. I said, you know, because people ask you what religion you follow, if you follow the scriptures to the T, to everything. I said, you know, if the point of my salvation was dependent on my ability to read and understand scripture, Jesus would have been an author. but instead,
yeah,
that's not
Jesus
the case.
Jesus would not speak in terms of riddles.
No, exactly. He was a movement. There was an active quantum activist who taught the greatest sermons by the actions, and they were incredible quantum ideas of participating in healing, participating in love. It was more than a philosophy. It was more than a word. It was an action. And I think that that's the powerful information that we're understanding that folks like you are uncovering. Does it make it possible for us to connect with people and those non-local knowledge? Does it make it possible for us to connect with it for people who lived before us, or people who lived during our time? Is this what we're connecting with when we seemingly get an idea out of nowhere, or some sort of thought, you know, quote unquote, pops into our head? Is this what could be happening?
Yes, it could be coming as a help from these people. I sometimes get the distinct feeling that these people are what some people call spirit guides, and so forth. So, in other words, I call the surviving entity, just to give it a name, this character that survives our physical death, as a quantum monad. I sometimes get the distinct feelings, you know, when I work on something that I need help with, inspiration with. By the way, they don't give us the creative idea. It's not the gift of anyone. Like you mentioned earlier that, you know, gurus giving you something, that's not the right way of thinking of a teacher. Teachers inspires you. And that's the role of Jesus. That's the role of these quantum monads. And this is very true. There are such things as spirit guides. Poets talk about them. Artists talk about them. Musicians talk about them. And even scientists can talk about them if they want to, if they're open to their truly perceived experience. One time I was reading something by a philosopher named Sri Aurobindo, and very difficult to penetrate his language, you know. And I was having tremendous difficulty up till then to penetrate his philosophy. But that afternoon, I had the distinct feeling that I had the help of Aurobindo himself, somebody standing just right behind me and encouraging me. And all of a sudden, the obtuseness I had towards his language just disappeared, and I understood what he's trying to say to me and others. And that was just an amazing experience of being guided into it. And I immediately also understood why people, you know, you're talking about reading the scriptures. This is the reason to read the scriptures. If you read it thoroughly, all of a sudden, one word, like love thy enemy, will stand in its total revelation before you. For that inspiration, for you to make the creative quantum leap that it takes to pass through the riddle. I mean, on the face of it, love thy enemy seems like a riddle. But it isn't. It's an actual practice that is given to you. And but to make that, you know, you need the inspiration of the sayer of those words. And so in those moments, you can feel Jesus coming to you and inspiring, okay, you can take the quantum leap and understand these words and then make that part of your practice, how to live. And then you are living. God is not dead. Then you are living a living God. You know that God is alive through you, and you have the power of using God's downward causation to change your life around.
And you're combining that idea that it's not just science, it's not just the ancient philosophies, but instead it's a human experience that is experienced to its fullest potentiality when you're marrying the scientific how with the spiritual why. You create a dimensional life that is full.
Yes, you do, and the only thing that one has to remember is that every time you have an understanding, follow it up. Follow it up with what creativity theory tells us. Creativity theory says that, okay, you prepare, you incubate the idea, do and be, and then you have the insight. But the last stage of creativity, manifestation of the insight, is extremely important. These two must be done, which is that you have discovered the living truth and then live it. That's how living truth becomes alive. Living truth is just a dogma. It can give you a belief system if you don't live it. If you live it, then you fully explore the living truth in its living aspect of it. So very important to not to make an insight into just another part of a belief system. Very important to live it. Then it becomes alive through you, and then others can just look at you and be inspired. This is very important. This is the way we contribute to the society. You know, that segment where you played Martin Luther King, I was listening, and he says, you know, we want to help others. The best way to help others is to be alive in this living spirit of these good textbooks, which tells us about the beauty, love, justice, truth, goodness, all these archetypes. If we are alive in these archetypes, if we really live good, if we really live and appreciate beauty and live truth and love and be good to each other, then people can readily see us and be inspired and explore the same archetypes with their creativity, and they then start living it. And that's how societies change. Today, too many people talk about these values. We have a tremendous division between scientific materialists who rather be advertisements for Playboy magazine and the upholders of values. But the point is that the upholders of values also indulge themselves secretly. They don't really follow up their life. They don't change in their life. And that's the problem. So people cannot get inspired by looking at either one. They look at Republicans, they look at Democrats. They are all the same, ultimately, because nobody is being creative in making changes. So this lack of inspiration is what has got us Americans down. It's not the recession of just absence of money. It's the recession of spirit. We are missing something, and that missing link is not in money. It's in our creative spirit. We have to wake up to that and do something about it, and we have to start manifesting the creative truth in our lives.
That we're not broken, and that everything we need to fulfill our purpose is already within us if we access it.
Absolutely. It's within us, and it the process is clear. Quantum physics is helping us to not only give us a cause for doing it, give us the why, but it also is giving us the how, clarifying it like never before, of how to do it. And so if we take the both aspects of quantum physics, why and how, it is not a difficult journey at all. And don't forget, it's a very joyful journey. Yes, there is agony in creativity. Yes, there is certainly pain in the sense of you have to be very perseverant and have to face failures. And of course, you suffer from some indecisions and you suffer from feelings of inadequacy. But eventually you overcome all of that. And then the joy of creativity, joy of that flow experience, being in the zone, and manifesting it in your life. And then when you have the capacity to love, when you have the capacity to do good to others, I mean, that is just so, you know, then truly you realize how grateful you are to God to create you like this, to give you an opportunity like this. I mean, it's just a fantastic experience of living day to day in God, empowered by that capacities of creativity to do these things, really engaged in the capacity of loving somebody. It's absolutely enormous.
Wow, wow, wow. Amit, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. The hour always flies by when you're on. Thank you so much for sharing your insight, your wisdom, your knowledge with all of our listeners and me, please.
You're so welcome, Steve.
Folks, we just had a great conversation with international best-selling author Amit Goswami. Please check out his stuff. He has some fantastic books, some great videos, the DVD. He's got tremendous, tremendous response from leaders in the scientific community. Just his work is incredible, and he really understands it and shares it in a way that all of us can understand it as well. Brilliant work. This latest book is God Is Not Dead: What Quantum Physics Tells Us About Our Origins and How We Should Live. Check out amitgoswami.org. That's amitgoswami.org. Folks, what a fantastic show. I feel so blessed to be the host of this show. I get to speak with some of the great minds of today. Amit Goswami, definitely amongst my favorite guests and favorite authors in the world. So check out God Is Not Dead. Check out amitgoswami.org. That's amitgoswami.org. And of course, don't forget that every single show we've ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. You can check out stevemaraboli.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Get out there and participate. Doobie, doobie, doo. As Amit Goswami said, get out there. Don't just say it, do it. Don't just hope it, be it. Don't just wish it. Go out there and create it. You are powerful beyond measure. And folks, it's always a pleasure. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.